The Mother Earth Report with futurist Belinda Matlitsky.
Hello, Belinda. Is glitter really as bad as they say? I mean, it gets everywhere.
Well, you know, witch girl does not like a bit of bling.
Oh, we
or
all
fairy
do.
Dust.
We all do, exactly.
Well, the one girl who doesn't is Mother Earth.
What do you mean?
I was absolutely shocked to find out that glitter is very bad for our planet, and that glitter itself is actually a microplastic, can be a copolymer plastic or aluminium foil. But either way, it's not biodegradable. It will never break down.
And even aluminium, Belinda?
Even aluminium. So, but unfortunately, the whole thing is the plastic part is the more problematic aspect of the glitter. So I haven't found any other viable alternative, but nevertheless, because I was looking after all of this, the issue is that the tiniest of organisms ingest this plastic. 8 million tons of plastic hits our oceans every day. So that's the update on the tonnage. And it works its way up the food chain to the extent that it actually kills the fish off before they reach reproductive age.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. Gosh,
But one thing that was very interesting to me is that the evolutionary instinct that we have to keep us hydrated is what is thought to be behind our glitter drive. So we're seeking out shimmering bodies of water. And this is why we become like these little magpies attracted to these particles that are so glitzy.
That's insane. Belinda, I want to ask you about our oceans, right? When one looks at the great big plastic heap, what's it called? The South Pacific, what is it? The Mid-Pacific, whatever. It's in the Pacific Ocean. It's a Pacific plastic trash dump. It's as big. It's as big as the continent of Europe. I mean, that's the size you're talking about.
It's absolutely frightening.
How did this get into our oceans? How did it get into our oceans? Who's been dumping in our oceans?
Well, the thing is that somehow everything gets into the oceans. Whether we have the sewerage or we have the factories, somehow everything finds its way. And I don't think we can just point to one culprit or another. It's very easy to find the factory states or the factory countries. And maybe we should have a list of the offenders, the major offenders. But I think that looking at the glitter problem is symptomatic of something else, and that is that we don't look for the small things. A little and a little together makes a lot. So it's not only those plastic bags that we've been speaking of and the macro level, the more obvious contaminants.
Yeah.
It's the small things that we do, whether it's flushed down the toilet, whether people are having a party, whether it goes into the air, whatever it is, somehow it ends up in those oceans. So we have to pay attention to the detail. And this is where it's been quite a reality check for me, thinking about microplastics.
Yeah, and diapers, babies' diapers. But the thing is that it is so incredibly useful. Yes. People are not going to go back to cotton nappies, right, or toweling nappies. It's not going to happen. Okay, maybe those people who don't use deodorant and take lemon and put that under their arm in their armpits as well. I'm not one of them. But people are not going to stop using plastics until something equally painless to use is invented and that becomes accessible to us. It's not going to happen.
Yes.
And that's what has to change.
You know what's so interesting is that hemp has been shown to have many, many uses. And initially, one immediately associates it with dacha, hash, marijuana, etc. But hemp itself has at times been put forward as a viable alternative for sanitary towels or possibly even for the diapers. But we have this other, the other chemicals within these diapers that actually absorb the fluid. So we've got a few factors here, but hemp appears to be a very versatile substance, and maybe there's somebody who's going to make fortunes out of hemp nappies. But the thing is, what we're looking at here is what decomposes and what doesn't. And what really excited me this week is that there are, when it boils down to it, we are these walking meat bags, and everything around us besides the plastics can decompose. And I saw an amazing post which showed a woman who's now creating her own electricity from her restaurant through her trash. And that led me down this wonderful rabbit hole. I thought this is totally new and innovative. And wow, you know, if we can actually, we can find ways of using our compostability, maybe we can come right. So all that is electrical is not of ISKCOM. A new thought, not just all that glitters is not gold. But unfortunately, this ability to create electricity from waste is not being utilized in South Africa. But when we go to our good old other motherland, Israel, in Beit Yanai, there is a company called Home Biogas that actually turns food and organic waste into clean cooking gas. So you can even take your used cat litter and throw it in there, your meat, your dairy. And then there are these digestive bacteria in the system that will then decompose the organic material and release biogas.
God, and that's interesting.
So there are ways to free ourselves from the chains of these high electricity prices here. And this is using the understanding that not just recycling, but understanding compostability and decomposition can help us. And there's even a machine called a Vegawatt, or I like to think of it as a veggie watt, that is available, you know, in the USA, because it's a vegetable electricity generator. But what really happens is that it's recycled cooking oil. So again, looking at the restaurant trade, because there's a lot of electricity to be generated. And when we look back to the 1800s, we had old Rudolf Diesel, who actually started operating an internal combustion engine using oil from peanuts. So it's not that new. And here we have the what we think is innovation reused, and the innovation itself is recycled. And there are restaurants that are burning this, you know, that dreadful, dreadful cooking oil and the residue that comes from it, et cetera. It becomes absolutely vile. And here you can actually use it to heat your water and to power entire restaurants. And now, you know, in Texas, they're even looking at taking this further and using this project to power the grid. So exciting times, besides the fact that we have our problem with the clogging up of the oceans, that which decomposes and all that is carbon can still be used in innovative ways to actually spare our Mother Earth, who often seems to be vomiting forth, you know, in retaliation for all of this abuse by the humans.
You know what? Until it either hurts us too much financially, or until there's a cheaper alternative and something less painful to use, nothing's going to change. So we need to start looking at entrepreneurship and boosting that there. I mean, I saw in, I think it's India, where they have developed these plates, and the actual plates themselves are edible, and they replace polystyrene.
I agree with you 100%.
You know,
that point and the entrepreneurship is absolutely crucial, and this and the thought of replacement. Yeah. And we must definitely put that out there. It would be wonderful if we could issue a challenge.
Right. Calling all venture capitalists. If you're a VC, you get in touch. Kathy@highfm.com. Let's start some innovation. Belinda, thank you so much.